Kathy and I knew that last night you all would have a good time out at the Lindsay's house, and I know you did, and I'm thankful for that. We missed the fellowship that we could have had with y'all last night. I'm going to begin this morning in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 10. And the 11th verse. I don't believe I've ever preached on this particular subject. I'm sure gone past over it and around it and all, but not specifically. And it's really so large that you can preach many sermons on it, many examples and scripture to back it up. But I pray the Lord will give me what I need, or what you need this morning. Jesus Christ says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep." So that's very simple, someone that's just paid to watch over a flock, I'm not going to mess with that wolf that's coming. I'm not getting paid that much. That's outside of my pay grade. And it would flee that. It's not his sheep. He doesn't care if not one of those sheep live or are injured, sick. He just doesn't care. He's just paid to watch over them. That's what he does. And fleeth. Then Jesus Christ says again in the 14th verse, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." So it's a two-way thing there. He knows his sheep, and he is known of his. We know him as well. He's the good shepherd. He is the shepherd. Then he says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep." So this describes Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd, the good shepherd. Other places, and one place I believe I'll go, that word shepherd is capitalized, so we know who it's talking about. But there's much to this subject, and we can remember, preachers preaching on different scenarios where, Jesus would go out and get that one that had, the shepherd would go out and get that one that strayed, bring him back. Leave the flock and go get them, bring them back, and so forth, and watch for dangers. And we, of course, the suggestions of this wolf, of the wolves that are just waiting to devour the flock and so forth. So there's much to that. But I'll go a certain way on this. And again, pray the Lord bless me. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 next. And remembering where I began and what I began with, this the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter says here in the 5th chapter, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." So he kind of describes his situation as an elder, those elders he exhorts, encourages, and he strengthens by the prayer of Jesus Christ for him. "When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." He's doing that. But also that he can say, a witness of the sufferings of Christ. So many things influence every minister's preaching. And they call it experiential preaching, is when you have experiences that you can base your sermon on, pointing to theology and to Scripture and so forth. I can't imagine we can read about the experiences of Peter as the apostle and an elder, but he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So I can only imagine all those sermons of Peter or epistles that he might have written that we don't have record of, what were in those, in those sermons. We see that one of the blessings in these other meetings for me especially, and I would imagine for you all, since you hear me most Sundays, is to hear other preachers preach. And so I'm blessed to do that. I was blessed to do that yesterday. And so they each have, and it was even mentioned yesterday, I think, by Brother John Yadamak, that the personalities, that you still have those when you're ordained to preach, when you're called to preach. When that happens, God doesn't just wipe your personality clean. Many preachers, maybe that'd be better if he would do that. Just wipe that clean and start from scratch, like an Etch-a-Sketch, if anyone still knows what those are. But we have our personalities. We also have our careers, our secular jobs. And I think of Elder Mark Richards, an engineer, and Elder John Yadamak, a lawyer, an attorney, and all. And the things that they experience. One of the ones that was there I didn't get to hear preach on Friday was Elder Mark Quarles, and he's a probation officer. He's a fellow federal employee, such as myself, a very able preacher. But they're able to bring those things in, the experiences, the things they see. If it's the law, that would be wonderful. I think of the Apostle Paul, his experiences in life. Many that, but he said he forgets many of the, that doesn't mean he forgets them mentally, but he puts those behind him. What he did to the church, and to Jesus Christ, he'd have to, that guilt. Elder Gary Rhodes yesterday preached some on that, and that guilt, you can't, it's a two-way thing there. Yeah, it can humble us, it brings to mind and shows us what we have, and how much we should appreciate it and all. But too much of that guilt, Satan will use then to pull you down from even glorifying God. So you have to watch that. So, again, that's one of the things we do in life. I'll mention from last Sunday, in terms of in Brother Jeff's prayer, the long-suffering, that let's not forget that as we're trying to figure out and pray to the Lord, Lord, I do not know how to repent of this, whatever this is. I cannot repent of this, and I know I should, and so forth. That long-suffering of others is the track to that, as in Scripture that I went to last Sunday, and that's the route, that's the path to it. So I think that's an answer to a prayer of the Lord. How am I to do this? Well, there's one way. He tells you, and we're blessed with His great power. But and we'll get into some of this shepherding here as He tends to His flock, Jesus Christ, our shepherd, the shepherd. And then he goes on here. He, in the second verse, Peter says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." Now he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." And let me go ahead and grab this. That feed doesn't mean just feed. I immediately go to the words of the gospel, feeding the church through the gospel and so forth. This means to tend to as a shepherd, to tend as a shepherd. So there's much more to that than just you, Peter, or to these elders that he's exhorting, preach to the flock of God which is among you. It means to tend to them. Therein it lies all of the responsibility of a minister and a pastor, I believe, intending. If it was just preaching, then that's it. There's nothing else involved. It's like, well, that seems like could be an easy gig. And yet I know you know it would not be, and especially for someone that is not called to preach, that is burdened with that. But if they are called to preach still, yes, there's much work in that and prayer and burden in it. But to tend as a shepherd in all that a shepherd does there's much more. And let me go ahead and, as this thought came to my mind, feed the flock of God, shepherd the flock which is among you. Which is among you, right there, where you are. Wherever you are, elders, Peter's saying, as an apostle and as an elder, you feed the flock of God, shepherd them that are among you there. I'm not to just reach out across the country and tend somebody else's flock. I'm not to do that. I would not even pretend to know. I wouldn't know all that's going on. That shepherd there tending that flock, he knows what's going on. Now, maybe some of the problem is that shepherd. You know, I'm not saying it's only the flock, but the shepherd, maybe so. We're flawed, sinful creatures. But I'm not to just now, if someone else reaches out to another shepherd of a flock they are tending, then that's fine. And I've done that. You reach out to brothers and sisters in Christ. Say, have you ever had this experience? Or what do you think about this verse of scripture or something like that? But in their experiences. And so there's much to that. And you might think, and this came to my mind, that it's not, and some might think a preacher, and I'm in this group of preachers. Some might think a preacher, it's like they are a pastor. Okay, they come to church, they preach, they attend, they fellowship, they sing, come on Wednesday night, or maybe go to a hospital or something to visit the sick, or perform a funeral and those things. But if you're tending a flock, then number one, I know my sheep and I am known of them. As Jesus said, it should be the same way. We should now. I may not know something if I'm not told, but I know my flock are very good about, as far as I know. Maybe you're hiding all kind. I mean, not expressing things. I don't want to burden him with this or that. So you're not telling me. But the thing, we're good about that, I believe, and because we believe in prayer and we've seen the result of it. I believe the existence of this local body is the result of fervent, effectual prayer. I believe that. And I've seen it. And how encouraging and optimistic that should be and should make us that that's the case. That there is more to come. Even if that flock, including the shepherd, changes. Even if that's the case, that there's so much more to come. Because I don't believe God wastes one moment of his time, because time is nothing to him. So if he's done something in you or in your church, then watch for the next thing, the next good thing from the good shepherd. From the good shepherd. So there's much more than those physical things that one sees. I don't know how the preachers do it. I remember somewhat how my dad, when he pastored, and my grandfather before him did some. And being around them at home and all hearing their conversations. But one almost continually thinks about the flock. The pastor, I believe, at least I do, you almost have to. Not that you're thinking or worrying that it's a negative thing. Well, what's going to come up next? What am I going to say to offend someone? What am I going to do? Is anyone hurt or offended? Does everyone feel loved and appreciated? And all. I think about that. I'm constantly and looking and think, okay, well, let's see, this is fixing to happen, and I like to know, you know that about me in 4 years, that I like things planned out and so forth, and you can't do it all. But your concern should not end. A pastor, a shepherd's concern and love for a church should not end when I walk out that door out there and get in my car. It continues. And God has blessed me so far to do that. But you all are easy to do that with. And, well, let me say this. You're because, number one, certainly, I love you. I can go around each seat and each chair and I could tell you exactly specifics and so forth on my love for you and those ones that aren't here, which are many. And yet, I'm going to get a little bit more into this. Well, maybe I will. I'll wait with that. But this shepherd the flock of God, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, so you oversee it, not by constraint, but willingly. So not forced into it. So far, nobody's blackmailing me to do this. I have done this of my own will, and I'm thankful for it. I always felt like God was guiding me in that. And had I not felt that, I wouldn't have begun. We wouldn't have begun coming over here on Wednesday nights back in 2018. I wouldn't have started coming to church more often and so forth. But I felt something. I didn't express that a lot. Unless someone asked me, then I would. But I did feel it as not as I hadn't felt before. Didn't know why, but I thought, if God's in it, just go ahead and cross that bridge. You know, do it, because it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because He's there. The good shepherd, my shepherd, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but out of a ready mind. Now, two places I've mentioned here, I believe, two, but you think, okay, well, he needs nothing, no financial support and all. It's the duty of a church to do that. Y'all are so good about doing that and all. But this is not, if my primary purpose was that money, well, number one, I don't think God would be blessing us. He might be blessing you still. Wouldn't be blessing me. And then it's not. It's not. I need the reviving each and every Sunday. I needed it yesterday. Both Kathy and I felt so restored and revived after the week there. And I know we would have had even more restoration in the fellowship with you all at your house last night and so forth. There is in that too, being around people. But that we come to glorify God, to praise Him, and there's blessings in that. But of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Now that's a rough one right there. Being in samples to the flock, that's scary. And y'all, I'm sure by now y'all have a handle on how much of an ensample I am to you or your children and so forth. But, you know, just how far to go on that, but that's what we're to do. We're to work toward that, being ensamples to the flock. But not being as, neither as being lords over God's heritage. I spoke of the personalities of some of the shepherds, some of the elders, the bishops, pastors, and how they still have that. And some are much more forceful and almost to like hitting people over a head to get them to do something. Oh, you got to do this and do that, so forth. But what does a shepherd do? He leads the flock, leads them. And also he goes, if he's leading them, he's gone before where he's taking them. If a shepherd's pushing that flock, no, you go on out there in that field or around that mountain or something like that. No, you lead them. You go there first because you love them. Because you love them. Not being as lords over God's heritage. And when the chief shepherd, capital S, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There are blessings in this, in doing this the right way, the chief shepherd. Now I want to go to Luke chapter 2. All of you will know this scenario, this story. Luke chapter 2, in my Bible, in italics at the top of that chapter, says the birth of Jesus. But I'm going to jump down to the 8th verse. And you'll see in that 8th verse, you know, why I'm in this area here about the shepherds. But in the 7th verse, Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. So y'all know that. You all are familiar with that event there, certainly, the birth of Jesus. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were abiding in the field. So they're out there. They don't, during the day, wander around, change fields with their flock of sheep, and then at night, well, it's getting dark. My 8 hours is up. I guess I'll go to the house. No, they abided. They abode with them. Abided. They abode with their flock, with their sheep. Jesus Christ does that. What I preached, whatever week, number of weeks ago about that church at Pergamos, he said, "I know thy works, and where thou dwellest." That's because he abides with us. He abides with us. We would know if he did not abide with us. We'd know that. We would. We wouldn't have the experiences that we've had every Sunday morning, just to mention one, if he did not abide with us. But that's what a shepherd does. You live with those folks. Now, I've read some of the history where there were so many little country churches out everywhere that preachers, and a lot of them were called circuit preachers and all, they would travel, walk, horseback, wagon, whatever it was, train and all, and go to all these different churches. And one preacher, I know of one preacher that really, he was still alive after I was born, but he was the pastor of 5 churches. Think, well, some months have 5 Sundays, but not all of them. So they had different times of services, but that was a necessity there. And I always wondered, how could they shepherd a flock? And you think, okay, he says, the flock, the sheep that you're among, which Peter was saying to the elders and so forth, that we were to shepherd those, feed the flock of which you are a part of and among. But how could that be? How could that? When I pastored either what, 2 hours away 2 Sundays a month, 4 hours away another 2 Sundays every month, How can I shepherd those people? I can preach to them. I can feed them with the gospel. And that's pretty much all it is. I was able to get down to Waco some. One of the sisters was in the hospital. We were able to drive down there one night and so forth. And there wasn't a lot of that was going on then. The need of a physical presence of the pastor and so forth. So I was blessed. I think God knew where I lived. He knew where I dwelled in those churches and knew. Like, well, he's doing this is right. I mean, the day I was ordained in 2006, I was pastor of those 2 churches, and I've been going, of course, for a while. So now I have discovered it comes across as boasting that I say, oh, I'm 10 minutes from my church, and they take that as bragging. I don't know why. I'm thankful for it. It's a blessing. But the first time, that is so unusual. So when you know. The Primitive Baptist Church, to live that close to your church, and I'm thankful for that. The shepherds were abiding in the field. Jesus Christ abides in the field. Now, which flock is he tending? You know, the entire elect family of God. And you think of the church, a subset of that here. It's a subset of the total elect family of God. We're not the entire family, elect family of God. He abides with them. He abides in the churches. He is among us. And by the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ is among us, and he abides with us. Just like he's in you. You believe that in regeneration, he then took up residence within you and all. That's the only way we can understand these things. Keeping watch over their flock by night. So they watch. They watch for things. So I take in this, okay, what do the shepherds do here? Then I think by Scripture, I'm to do those things, to watch over their flock by night. I don't believe it's just limits this by night. Certainly they did. But you look for the wolves. And I do look for wolves out there. And it's to look within as well. There's much to this, and sometimes the only way that I can have peace with not getting spilling over into from concern or care into worry and stress is the Lord's presence, is my shepherd's presence in that. Because then he'll say, just calm down and all. But I'm always watching. And I've told you this and shepherds were certainly defensive against those wolves without the field. And I feel that. I feel that. And I listen and watch for that. And it's not for my reputation. It's for the sheep that I love, that I know, and that are known of me. That's why. And I take that so seriously. And when I begin to fail at any or all of that, then that's it. And pray that God then sends another shepherd. I pray for the churches. I always think of Louisville that have no shepherd, no pastor, no bishop there, that they continue to go on. And I don't know how long now it's been since they've been without a pastor, and obviously they survived. We were without one after my dad died in 91 for a few months, and there were some that were just, oh, we've got to have a pastor, got to. And yeah, you should, you're supposed to have a pastor and so forth. But God's blessing them to continue. Elder Matt Green's over there today and preaching to them. So they're being fed by the gospel, with the gospel. But I feel for those churches. When I was exercising, there were many churches, Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, that had no pastors. And they needed someone to fill in. Got to that very bottom of the barrel, and there I was. And so they would call me over, and I go, and I felt blessed in that. So we watch over our flocks. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. They didn't know what was going on here. This is a new experience here. The glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. So at first they were afraid. I'm not sure, and I don't remember when, I don't remember the event, the time when I was born again, that very moment when I was changed. Could have been before I was born naturally. I don't know, and I've told you that. But so I don't know what my reaction at that moment was. But many, it may be fright. I don't know what's going on here. What I didn't used to care about this or that. No, maybe, and so it could be fear, or it can be great relief. Everyone's different, but God knows what each of those reactions are going to be, and blesses us. And the angel said unto them, the shepherds, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So that's a good first thing to say. Number one, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So in verse 11, it names two other shepherds. David was a shepherd. He didn't start out as a king, not in the least. David, he was the last one the people would look on him and say, yeah, we want him to be our king. They looked at who looked like a king. He looks like a king. He's won some battles and so forth, but this was a little shepherd. David was a little shepherd boy. And then Christ, the good shepherd. So this is the day time when he was born. Mentions the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So this is what took place. Now, then, this is one of those places in the Bible that we have. Well, what's the reaction then of the shepherds? We saw they were sorely afraid. Now the angels saying, calm down, fear not, bring you tidings of great joy. The shepherds said to one another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They immediately then, the shepherds, went to where Jesus lay in a manger. So they went there. They continued this work, but they did what they were to do. The shepherds today, if we, number one, would be willing to and look for what God might tell us that we're to do, and then do those things, even though it may be against, well, no, that doesn't seem right to me. Do it in prayer and all and follow God, then we'd be much better off. And when we begin to care, put care and importance overly in things, whether it be money or reputation, crowd size, so forth, when we begin to place more importance on that, then that's not right. And so as long as we can keep a handle on those things, you want many other things in God's house. So how many preachers get up and say, oh, I just wish the house was full today and all this. We could fill this house with people and so forth. And we do. So they would be rejoicing as well. But we're to do what the shepherd guides us to do. So they said to one another, let us go. And then it says, they came with haste in the 16th verse. They came with haste. Then 17th verse, they made it known abroad. So they did all these things. I think they did what they were to do. And this, after this glory being shown, all around. And in the 18th verse, and then I'll jump to Psalms. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So it's begun. It's begun there. And then we know all that went from there. John the Baptist had already, because he was in the presence of Jesus Christ, leapt for joy in his mother's womb. So along the same time, he was about to preach the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as was prophesied in Malachi. Now, I'm going to go to, and you'd think, well, he's got to go here. And it is the 23rd Psalm. It's all about our shepherd. And I don't know if I'll necessarily go through this whole thing. I'm about ready to close it down, but I want to bring some things to your minds here, hopefully to bring you comfort and strength and a better closeness with your shepherd. I want to feel close. Again, this phrase, my personal savior. Well, he's my personal shepherd, and he is the good shepherd. He is. Well, let me go ahead here. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." In that, I notice the pronouns. In that, it could have been said, "He is a shepherd." The shepherd, which are both true. He could have said, David could have said, our shepherd. That's all true. He said, my shepherd. It's his shepherd. Look at the times David called upon God in prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. You think, well, I'm kind of wanting now, or somebody might think, well, I don't even have a physical home or something, and so forth. But God's still their shepherd. He blesses them. I can't possibly understand all that takes place in this world. And it can become overwhelming. But the good shepherd is still there. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed as much as we do. But want of spiritual things. Think about just that. I'm not in want of any of that. If I have, I am wanting of spiritual things, then chances are I need to do something about that. Either I need to go to the Lord in prayer or something. I'm doing something. If we're doing right by God within His will, I believe He'll bless us with His presence. And I believe, I know y'all have felt that. I know. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yesterday, at some point in the preaching, listening to the sound of preaching, I think just Kathy and I both felt some of this. We didn't talk much about it afterwards, but in conversation there at the church, that I needed much of what. A lot of times I need to go to a church meeting, hear all that singing and the fellowship. You see friends and loved ones and brothers and sisters that you haven't seen for a long time. But I needed to hear the words of the gospel that happened to be preached yesterday. And I'm not always blessed to understand or to retain, to comprehend that preaching that a certain man is preaching. We all have different styles of preaching that we really like better than others and all. It's like, I didn't understand a word he said, or he was over my head, or whatever it is. One of the ones that I oftentimes wouldn't understand or wasn't grabbing hold of anything preached to me yesterday more fiercely and full of the Spirit than ever before. And I told him, you've given me so much to take back to my church. And you're probably thinking, well, when are you going to give it to us? You haven't today. But no, there's much. But I want to encourage the other ministers as well, because we need that. Not bragging or boasting, but encouraging. But I received so much. He restoreth my soul. That was my soul, right to my soul, that restoration came. And I needed that. So now I'm going to go to, at this point, from this point, I'm going to go through the rest of that. I'm going to try to close. But in the 17th Psalm, the last verse of that, let me give you some more pronouns here. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. That is that time when I wake in his likeness, I will be satisfied. When I lay my eyes, these eyes, that moment of the resurrection upon my shepherd, the one that shepherded me, tended to me as part of his flock all of my life, lay my eyes upon him, my master, my king, that I nailed to the cross. And because of his love for me, I'm there with him. I sometimes get in a negative point of view or a mental state, and I'm so ready to be there, and yet I don't want to concentrate and emphasize that. I'd be like my dad told my mom, my grandmother, when she said, "I wish the world would end right now." He said, "No, you go on. I got stuff to do here," and all we do such and. Enjoyment and pleasure in serving God and in our families and so forth. But I imagine that heavenly host that came with the angels and all, and who all was there. And then they went back to heaven and they said, "Glory to God," and they're there. And And it's not really so much envy or covetousness that I covet those that have gone on to heaven, but knowing what we know, I so want to be there. To not, no more worry. Maybe it's selfish. I'm lazy and I don't want to have to deal with anything, jobs and so forth. I can't even get to retirement, much less to heaven. but I long for that. But just remember, your shepherd is here tending his flock. The shepherd, as David, he's just as much your shepherd as he was David's and everyone else's and those that have gone on. And it just makes us that the closer we get to being with Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, that we see all those among that heavenly host there. You all know some that were taken out of their time, and somehow we're still here glorifying God because He is able. He's able to do that. Thursday night, I happened to jump online and see Elder Ed Kirkpatrick, and he was talking about Stephen's experience and so forth. He saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God, and he was about to die of martyrdom, Stephen was, and he was cut short here in his natural life. But had to be, and I believe, I don't know if it was worded by another preacher this way, it doesn't matter, but it's true. But Jesus Christ standing there in his priestly duties, in his office work, and as shepherd, tending his flock, looking out after Stephen. He never said it, at least he didn't. Maybe he did through Stephen, privately, through the Spirit. Stephen, you are in a moment about to be right here with me. You're going to be here with me. He had just blessed Stephen to preach the gospel. And then in a moment, he was with Jesus Christ. And so often, I want that so badly. And yes, with my mind, I think, oh, I'd get to see this one or that one. I'd get to hug this person or that. I can't help those natural thoughts, but we're going to have our eyes on our Redeemer. That love that we'll feel, that love that we know and that He has for us, that He gave His life. Hireling wouldn't do that. Jesus Christ, we are one of His. May God bless and keep you, is my prayer. We'll open the door.